Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Chasdai, Pesach Ben Dov, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Harav Meir Kahana, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, I can't wait until we set up our two independent pages, one in English and one in Hebrew. For those of you that didn't hear last week's program, let me reiterate what we're planning to do, and I also want to clarify it because I don't know if I was clear enough, and perhaps I want to give a few more details so that people will really understand what our plan is all about. We don't want to be dependent on Facebook and YouTube. We're going to continue to be active on Facebook and YouTube, but we don't want to be dependent upon them because when they decide to, they can take our pages down. They can take our accounts down, as they have done in the past. So we want to set up our own pages on our own server, on our own website, on our own server, not on Facebook, not on YouTube, on our own server. That means that our Hebrew main page, which is hayamin.org, our Hebrew main page that is on our server, hayamin.org, will be replaced by a new page, a new daily news page in Hebrew that, God willing, we're going to set up. And our English main page on our own server, which is currently jtf.org, that's going to be replaced, God willing, by a daily news page in English. What are we going to have on these pages? And again, these pages will be on our own server, on our own website. So Facebook and YouTube and these other sites, they can't take us down. If they don't like what we're saying, it doesn't matter. This is on our site. And what do we plan to have there? We want to have videos on there. We want to have articles and posts by our great members and news events and all types of updates. We want to make sure there are daily updates on both the Hebrew and the English sites. Now, I don't know how active the English site is going to be. I'm not sure yet. The Hebrew site, I anticipate, will be very active. Because every time we try something like this with the Hebrew, with our great Hebrew members, they are very active. As we saw on our Hebrew Facebook page, before it was taken down, we had over 27,000 members. So we anticipate, God willing, we anticipate that the Hebrew page will be very active. I don't know how many will join. That I don't know yet. But if we can get thousands of new members that are joining on our websites, on our pages that can't be taken down, that's a very important force. That's very, very important, especially in a country the size of Israel. We only have 6 million Jews. And I'm speaking about the Hebrew page right now. If we can eventually get the type of response that we got on our Hebrew Facebook page, if we can get that on our own page, which can't be taken down, that would be a tremendous boost for us. And it would really make our movement something that could change history, God willing. So we're very anxious to do this. And we want our English page. We want our English page to also be active. I don't know if it'll be as active as the Hebrew page. I anticipate the Hebrew page will be more active. But we want the English page to also be active because we want to build a big English language movement as well. So we want daily updates on the English page. We want our great members, if they want to write articles, if they want to write quality articles, we want them to write articles. Not long articles, by the way. Very long articles we don't want because it's not that we don't like very long articles, it's just that we know from experience that most people are not going to read very long articles. So the articles have to be to the point and interesting and newsworthy or very informative, and they have to be to the point. And yes, we're going to want people from our English forum who would like to submit articles to us, we would want them to submit articles to us. Absolutely. We're also, of course, going to want suggestions on news, on all types of news items. And we're going to give people an opportunity to do what they currently don't have an opportunity to do, not on the forum, and they don't have an opportunity to do this on our main pages right now. We're going to give them an opportunity to go to hayamin.org, the Hebrew main page, and to go to jtf.org, the English main page. We're going to give them a chance to go there and to comment on these articles and comment on our videos without having to sign in. So if people start off getting comfortable and enjoying the page and they don't have to sign in, they can put any name they want. You have to put a name there. You're going to have to put some name on top and then put your comment in. But you don't have to sign in. You could put any name you want. You could put Bozo the Clown. You could put any name you want. So we're hoping that people who at first maybe don't want to sign in, but would like to comment, maybe comment anonymously, maybe comment under some pseudonym, once they get used to it, they're going to want to come back because it's going to be interesting, God willing. And they're going to want to, eventually they're going to want to sign up and join as well. Because you'll have an opportunity to join the pages. I mean, you'll have an opportunity not to join the movement through the pages, through these new pages that we're creating. So it gives us a chance to get many new people involved, God willing. Many new people. You know, we get so many visitors. If you look at our JTF and our Hayamin stats, if you look on the bottom of our stats on our main page, on our general category page, rather, on the forum, we have stats there, and you see so many visitors come. Many people out of curiosity, because of all the videos we have on YouTube, many people out of curiosity come and visit us, but they don't join. Now they're going to have a chance to post without having to join. They could post, in effect, anonymously, because they could put any name they want. And they will have a chance to vote in our polls. We're going to have polls. I hope we'll have polls frequently. We're going to try giving people polls on all types of issues. So they'll have a chance to vote in our polls. They'll have a chance to comment on our articles. They'll have a chance to post anonymously if they wish. And if they really like it and really get used to it and really get into the hang of it, maybe they'll also want to join us, and I anticipate that some will join us. If enough join us, if thousands of new people join us on the English and on the Hebrew sites, that of course would be a tremendous plus for us. That would be great. That's our objective. So I'm very excited about it. I can't wait. I don't know if it's going to succeed. I don't know. Even if it succeeds, it may take months to build up. I don't know how it's going to work out. I have no idea how it's going to work out. But I think it's worth a try. And it's something that excites me. It's an idea that excites me. It's an idea that was suggested to us by our Hebrew admins and our Hebrew forum people, who give us many brilliant ideas. And Shlomo is working on it, and as soon as it's ready, it's going to take a while. It takes a while to prepare. There are all types of reasons why it takes a while. When it is ready, we, of course, are going to announce it, and we're going to invite all of our people, including the people that are active now on the forum. We're going to invite you to also be active on these pages. So I think it's an exciting possibility. By the way, just to give you an example of the type of subjects, the essential subjects that we want to be discussing, on the Hebrew page, for instance, we just put up a video about how the Fatah terrorist mass murderers released a song, and it's on Fatah television, and it's an official Fatah song, saying we will give the Jews only death. Only death we will give the Jews. Now this is interesting because this again, and we've released so many things showing that this is what Fatah always says in Arabic. The interesting part about this is that the Netanyahu, Yalon, Lieberman, Bennett, Lapid regime keeps telling us that these are our peace partners. That these people are people that we can negotiate with. That we're going to give them an independent so-called Palestine state. This is what Netanyahu promises to do. And he's transferring to them billions of dollars in aid. And he's doing everything he can to support them. And there's even talk of invading Gaza and toppling the Hamas regime in Gaza and replacing the Hamas terrorists with the Fatah terrorists. God forbid. Chas v'chalila. God forbid. The Fatah terrorists are much more dangerous than the Hamas terrorists. Because if the Fatah terrorists are in Gaza, and if the Fatah terrorists are in Judea and Samaria, then This means the this means the renewal of negotiations to create a so-called Palestine state. It means even further freezing of Jewish settlement building. It means more and more Israeli concessions and moving again toward creating a so-called Palestine state, which is national suicide for Israel. And yes, the danger of creating a Palestine state is a very real danger. Very real danger. The whole world is squeezing and pressuring Israel to do that. The fact that Hamas is in Gaza and Fatah is in Judea and Samaria, and you have these two different terrorist warring factions in power in two different places, that's one of the things that prevents the world from succeeding in getting Israel to create a so-called Palestine state. So if you didn't have that situation, and if Fatah was in charge throughout Judea, Samaria, and Gaza, that would mean the renewal of negotiations, God forbid. The Fatah terrorists are much more dangerous because they're much more clever than the Hamas terrorists. The Fatah terrorists do want to negotiate with Israel in order to get a so-called Palestine state, God forbid. Whereas the Hamas terrorists say, we will never negotiate with Israel. We want to destroy Israel immediately, and they say that in all languages. They are stupid. They are stupid to say that. The Fatah terrorists are more clever and therefore more dangerous. So we just did a video pointing that out. And it's something that has to be exposed to the people of Israel. The people of Israel, the vast majority of Israelis, do not trust Hamas or Fatah or any of the Arab groups. They don't trust any of them. But they're being bombarded day and night with this propaganda that Fatah are moderates and they're peace partners. And nobody shows them what Fatah is actually saying, that Fatah is calling for genocide, calling for a Holocaust, calling for the same things that Hamas and Hezbollah and ISIS and all the other Muslim terrorists call for. The same exact calls for genocide. There is no difference in Arabic. And so it's so important that we reach the Jews of Israel with this message, just as it's essential that we reach the Jews of Israel with the message of the danger of the Iranian nuclear bomb-making program and the danger and all the other dangers that are posed to the survival of the Jewish people because we don't have real leadership in Israel. If we had big pages that we control, that Facebook and YouTube and all these other evil entities can't take down because of their anti-Semitic bias, if we had pages that we control, and we had thousands and then eventually tens of thousands of members and people active on these pages, that would make a big difference. God willing, that would make a big difference. And as I said last week, there already are news pages like this. We're not the first ones to come up with this idea. One is called, you know what, if I give you the names, I don't even know how relevant it is because the names are in Hebrew and the sites are in Hebrew and the vast majority of people listening to this program do not speak Hebrew. So, you know, those who do, of course, can easily find the news sites. But there are other news sites like this. If ours can become a major right-wing news site and the only true Kahanist news site, and if we could get thousands of active people on those sites, you can imagine what that could lead to. That would be a platform for us to then send those people out and influence all the other segments of the internet. And again, we're still going to be active on Facebook. We're still going to be active on YouTube. And we're going to we're going to use our accounts on Facebook and YouTube to publicize these new sites and hopefully to bring us new members. So we'll see how it works out. I don't know how it's going to work out, but if it succeeds, if we are able to bring a lot of people over by doing this, it would be a tremendous accomplishment. And this time, YouTube won't take us down and Facebook. Because remember, we were very successful on YouTube in 2007. We had these big pages and we're really reaching a lot of people. You remember that? And then they took the big pages down. We had hundreds of thousands of views on big pages that we had created. And then they took the pages down on YouTube when they saw we were succeeding. When they saw we were succeeding, they decided they want to cut our legs off. And the same thing happened on our Hebrew Facebook page. It was not a waste at all because we reached many new people who now know about us. And I hope we're going to be able to bring those people in now to our site. I hope with these new pages we'll bring those people into our site. But if we can bring those people in on our site, and if we can say to people, look, now if you want to post things that are good for the Jewish people and good for Israel, on our site you're not going to be censored because we're not like the anti-Semites of Facebook or YouTube or the media sites or these other politically correct sites. On our site, if it's good for the Jewish people and good for Israel, you can post this. This will be our message to Israeli Jews. You finally have a place where you can feel at home, where you will be with other people who are loyal to the land of Israel and the Torah and the people of Israel. You'll finally have a place where you can feel at home. So, let's hope that this attracts people, and let's hope it works out. And in English, you know, we're not only going to be dealing with Israel, you know we're going to be dealing with the 2016 presidential election, which is coming up. You know, in a couple of months, in November of 2014, we have the midterm elections, and the midterm congressional elections in this November, another couple of months. As soon as those elections are over, it's the start of the 2016 presidential election. That's how American politics works. As soon as one cycle is over, the next election cycle begins, and you're going to see in November, December of this year, in a couple of months, you're going to see major campaign efforts begin in Iowa, New Hampshire, and all the things that those of us who have lived through presidential campaigns are familiar with. You're going to see that start. I want our page to be influential in reaching American Jews with the message that the time has come for Jews to vote in favor of their own survival instead of for their enemies for a change, instead of voting for Barack Hussein Obama and all these anti-Semites. I want our page to be a place where people can come and express themselves on that issue and expose the truth. And where you can invite your friends and say, hey, why don't you check this out if you think this isn't true? Look at this page. Look at all the information on this page. Check this out. You won't just be showing them a video. You won't just be showing them the forum, which has subjects scattered all over the place. You'll be showing them a page with news articles and videos, hopefully, and written articles and polls and all types of information, and hopefully will influence people. Hopefully. Maybe we'll also influence to a certain degree what happens in the Iowa caucuses and in January 2016. I mean, the campaign starts just in a couple of months, even though the actual voting begins in January 2016. But which is just a little bit more than a year from now, less than a year and a half from now, the voting begins. But the campaign, you know, begins much earlier than that, much earlier. So I'm hoping we can influence things. I'm hoping that we can be a true pro-Israel and right-wing force in the election. And as you know, we support Ted Cruz for president. So let's see what we can accomplish with this. Let's hope that we can accomplish things. Again, I can't promise you this is going to work. I don't know. We're going to try. We're going to try our best, and we're going to see what happens. I can't wait to try it, because I think it's an exciting idea, but we don't know for sure. We don't know for sure yet what's going to happen. We need your help to make it a success. To really make it a success, we need your help. And we need your help with all the things that we're doing to try to reach people with the truth, to try to wake people up before it's too late. When we show you on the forum Hebrew and English videos, it's very important that you help us promote those videos by liking, commenting, and sharing those videos on our Facebook pages. And by liking, commenting, favoriting, and mirroring the video, I don't know if I pronounced it right, mirroring the video on YouTube. We need you to like, comment, and share on Facebook, like, comment, favorite, and mirror on YouTube. It does help us with the search engines. And a second thing we're going to need is for you not only to be active on the forum, but now when we do launch these pages, and I don't know if it's going to be another couple of weeks or how long it's going to take. It may take another couple of weeks, maybe more, maybe less, I don't know. But when we do launch these pages, God willing, we're going to need you to make these quality pages with good posts, and good articles that you bring, and quality material that will make people want to join when they see it. And last but not least, of course, to promote this and to make it successful, we're going to need financial help more than ever. This is a critical time. We've proven already that we do have wide appeal to Jews in Israel if we could just reach them. We've proven that. We proved that on the Hebrew Facebook page. In 3.5 months, we got 27,000 members in a country of only 6 million Jews. I mean, come on. That is impressive. That's impressive. Nobody knew us from Adam, and here we are getting, on Facebook at least, nobody knew us. And here we are, we pull in 27,000 new members in 3.5 months. That was impressive. So we've already proven that we can appeal to large numbers of Israeli Jews. And we need to reach those people urgently. Urgently we need to reach them with our message of truth, with the facts, before disastrous things are done, God forbid. And so every check, every money order, every cash donation made out to our sent to our post office box through the regular mail makes a huge difference. We need your help now more than ever. And of course, if you want to do it online, you can go to the donate button on hayamin.org on our Hebrew main page. There's a donate button in English. It's the only thing in English on the page. I think it's the only thing in English. Everything else on the page is in Hebrew. But it's on the top. And you go to the donate button, click on the donate button, and in several minutes you can conveniently send us money with your credit card online. Some people prefer to do it through PayPal with their credit card online. Some people prefer to send the checks, money orders, and cash donations through the regular mail to the post office box. It makes no difference. Let's try to make this work. If this works out, if we get these people, this is something that Facebook and YouTube can take down. This is something that can make a difference, a real difference, especially if, God willing, it works and we get thousands of new people. Thousands of new people means we have thousands of activists. And you know what that can mean on the internet. Thousands of activists on the Hebrew internet. Israel's a country of 6 million Jews. If we have thousands of people active on the internet for us, we would be a major presence on the Hebrew internet. I know you want us to succeed. As much as I want this to succeed, I know that all of you want this to succeed as well. So we need you to help us, and we need you to do everything you can to pitch in every way. We need your prayers. We need your likes and commenting and sharing to boost us in the search engines, and we need your financial support, especially your financial support, because the more financial support we have, the more we can promote this. All right. And obviously, the stronger we are, the better it is for Israel and the Jewish people. The stronger we are, the more people we reach, the more people we wake up, the better it is. The better it is. And I think we've shown that we can get results if given a chance. So let's all work to give us that chance, God willing. And God willing, let's hope that we can change history. All right. Now, I'm excited. If it doesn't work, God forbid, then, there are other things that we will try. But I would love to see this work, especially this. Because this would be our own site with our own, we're controlling it. And they can't censor us. And they can't shut us up. We're controlling it. I'd want to work. This would be so much better than Facebook or YouTube. Because here we're not vulnerable to their censorship and their political correctness. It would be a dream come true for us. It would be a dream come true for us if we were able to turn that into something massive. God willing, please pray for us. Please pray for us. All right, now let's go to our questions from our great JTFers. And we start out with Our great friend Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, can you curse Al Sharpton for being nothing more than a race baiter? Thanks, unquote. Oh, absolutely, Al Sharpton, yimach shmo v'zichro shem reshaim yirkav. May his name and memory be obliterated. May the name of the wicked rot. That animal, the blood of innocent people is on that pig's hands. And he looks like a pig. He looks like a pig. He sounds like a pig. He grunts like a pig when he speaks. And he's responsible already for innocent blood being shed and has done everything he can to create as much tension and as much hatred and jealousy as he possibly can. A very evil individual. And by the way, you can search on the internet for articles about this. Al Sharpton is Barack Hussein Obama's main advisor on race. He's the person they go to on racial issues. He's there. He's in charge of the Obama administration response now on racial issues. Obama turns to Sharpton on racial issues now. Remember, we told you that Obama and Sharpton are the same thing. When Obama was running in 2008 and everybody ridiculed us, we said there's no difference between them. They support each other. They agree with each other. There is no difference. There's no real difference. In the end, their goal is the same evil goal. And now we're seeing it come true. Thank you, Joe Gutfeld. And we go now to the great Wandering Samurai 81, who writes, Dear Chaim, why hasn't Jimmy Carter croaked yet? May he, Jimmy Carter, die from pancreatic cancer, unquote. Amen. Amen. Ken yehi ratzon. That means amen. It should be God's will. It should be the will of the Creator that happened. Jimmy Carter is so evil, and the reason he hasn't died yet, Wandering Samurai, is because evil people live long lives in an evil generation. We're being punished. The fact that he's alive, the fact that Shimon Peres is alive, the fact that you have so many evil people that live long lives, this is punishment. Because we're not worthy of God dealing with these people and judging these people the way they should be judged. And that's one of the problems. It's an evil generation. In an evil generation, evil people live long. And God is punishing the world by allowing this disgusting serpent, Jimmy Carter, yimach shmo v'zichro, to live. Thank you, Wandering Samurai. And now we go to our new friend, Serbian Kahanis, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, is reincarnation a Jewish concept? Do you believe in it? Rabbi Yosef Mizrahi says Kabbalah supports it. What do you think of him? Thanks, unquote. There are some differences of opinion on it. Today, I would say most rabbis do believe that there is something called Gilgul Neshamot, which means reincarnation of the souls. Let me give you an example of a situation where it would make sense. Let's say you have a little baby who is born and dies a few days after the baby is born. The baby dies. The baby hasn't had a chance to live yet. What happens to the soul of that baby? The baby hasn't had a chance to be tested by God or receive reward or punishment for anything because it's just a baby. What happens to that baby's soul? That is an instance in which there are rabbis who say that that baby either can be reincarnated or was reincarnated. That can be an instance where you can see reincarnation. And there are other instances like that too. What happens when innocent little children are killed? Do their souls just, is that the end? Is that the end of their souls? Or are they reincarnated and given another opportunity to live? That's an example of reincarnation at work. Now, there are major rabbis who believe that reincarnation occurs on a much wider scale than what I've just described. They believe that it occurs frequently and that people are given opportunities to come back and correct things they've done wrong in the past. Now, there is a Jewish basis for it. Yes, there is a Jewish foundation and a Jewish basis for it. There are also rabbis who, I think, do not believe in it. I think Harambam, Maimonides, did not believe in it because he never mentioned it once. He mentioned every possible Jewish concept. This concept he never even dealt with once. So my guess is that Maimonides, Harambam, did not believe in it. So people, I guess, can take it either way. Most rabbis today, most Orthodox rabbis today probably do believe that there is some form of reincarnation taking place, which will continue until the Messianic era. As far as Rabbi Yosef Mizrahi, what do I think of him? I like Rabbi Mizrahi. I don't agree with everything he says. I saw something on the forum where he said that Abu Mazen Mahmoud Abbas wants peace, or something like that. That would be terrible if he said that. I'm really surprised that he would say something that's so illogical, that's so obviously contrary to reality. This monster who's responsible for the murder of thousands of Jews and whose media day and night calls for genocide against the Jewish people wants peace? He openly says that what he's negotiating for is a situation where he will take land away from Israel and so weaken Israel that Israel won't be able to defend herself, and then they'll be able to move in against the weakened Israel and destroy Israel completely. I mean, the Fatah terrorists that he leads have openly said that's their objective. So if he said that, I'm really disappointed and surprised to hear that, because he has praised Rabbi Meir Kahana and he has praised many things that we like. So I don't know. But I was surprised to see him. I was surprised to see him say something like that, because overall, I think his message is a very positive one. Overall, from what I've heard. But if he said that about Abu Mazen Mahmoud Abbas, that would be something that we would very strongly disagree with him on, because we can clearly prove without any doubt that the Holocaust. His dissertation, his PhD at Moscow University. Abu Mazen's dissertation or PhD was denying the Holocaust, was Holocaust denial. That's what he did his doctorate on. So, he's such a vicious Nazi Jew hater, a vicious murderer who has said that his dream in life is to be a Shahid. A Shahid is a suicide bomber. So I would be disappointed if he said that. But other things that he said, I think, are positive. Thank you, Serbian Kahanist. And we go now to the great Lewinsky Stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, and I quote, "Discuss why certain Jews always make excuses for a whitewash, Russia, Ukraine, or both. Right now, who has committed more atrocities in that war?" Unquote. Lewinsky Stinks, Jews make excuses for all of their enemies. For everyone who has spilled Jewish blood or persecuted Jews, the Jews always have an excuse, always have a reason. This is just insane Jewish behavior. It's insanity. Who has committed more atrocities in the war that's taking place in the Ukraine? I don't know. I think both sides are committing atrocities. Both sides. Both sides are lying. Both sides are killing each other. Both sides are committing atrocities. I think it's obvious that, anyone who thinks that Russia and Ukraine are going to be humanitarians, or are going to deal humanely with their enemies, that just doesn't happen. That just doesn't happen. When they have an enemy, they want to destroy their enemy. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks. And we now go to the great Smash Islam, who writes, and I quote, "Thoughts on following countries." And then there's a list here of a number of countries, and we start out with Finland. Finland fought with the Nazis in World War II. Finland fought with and supported the Nazis in World War II. Now, it's true that they wanted to, that they didn't want Russia to control them, and they had Russia as their neighbor. I don't care what the excuse is. I don't care what, they didn't care about, obviously, what Hitler and the Germans were doing to the Jews. It didn't bother them enough. It didn't bother them enough not to align themselves with the Germans, and so why should I care what happens to them if they don't care about the fact that millions of my people were being burned and gassed? So I don't forgive countries that supported the Nazis during the Holocaust. I don't forgive things like that. And Finland did. Next, Romania. Romania is a country that was a Romania was a Nazi country. Romania supported the Nazis, and Romanian Nazis rounded up and murdered Jews brutally. Romania was pro Germany. Czech Republic, the Czech Republic was against the Nazis, and generally speaking, as far as I know, they didn't persecute the Jews. The Jews in Czechoslovakia, not in Czechoslovakia, but in the Czech Republic, were not persecuted. There's a difference between Czechoslovakia and the Czech Republic. The Czech Republic is split from Slovakia, and I'll explain that in a moment. But the Czech Republic and the Czechs were against the Nazis and did not, and as far as I know, did not persecute the Jews. So their history is a more positive one from my point of view. And just from the point of view of decent human beings. Also, some statements have been made by Czech politicians lately in regard to Israel that differentiate them from the usual European anti-Semitism. So the Czech Republic gets a little bit more of a positive, gets more positive marks than other countries in that area. And now Slovakia were Nazis. It used to be Czechoslovakia, was one country. The Czechs were anti-Nazi. The Slovaks were Nazis. Slovakia were Nazis. And then Slovenia. Slovenia is more complicated because Slovenia was a mix of all different types of countries that came in and took over. There were Slovenians that collaborated with the Nazis. I forgot the name, but there was a Slovenian movement there with over 20,000 active Nazis that helped the Germans in World War II. But there were also many Slovenians that fought against the Nazis and the partisans and the underground, so it was a mixed bag. There it's a mixed situation. You had some who were good, some who were bad. I mean, some who were anti-Nazi, some who were pro-Nazi. Some of the anti-Nazis were communists, which is also not good. But, you know, it was a mixed bag in Slovenia. Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, all three of the Baltic states were Nazis. All three of them brutally murdered the Jews living in those countries and were completely pro-Nazi. Switzerland claimed to be neutral, but they were not. They safeguarded German Nazi money and German Nazi bank accounts. But the Jewish bank accounts, when Jews put their money there to have their money safeguarded, even to this day, some of the Jews have never gotten their money back. The Swiss stole their money, looted the money from the Jews. To this day, they didn't get everything back that the Swiss owe them. Many of the Swiss are of Germanic descent and clearly were sympathetic to the German Nazis. So they weren't really neutral. And to be neutral when you have a monster like Hitler on your border is, of course, even that's immoral. But they really weren't neutral. They actually helped the German Nazis with their banking policies. And finally, Luxembourg. Luxembourg is a small country with about 500,000 people. I think there are about 500,000 people there now. Used to be even smaller, but now they're accepting immigration from different parts of the European Union. One thing that they're promoting, they promote the European Union all the time. They're very, very in favor of the European Union and working with the European Union and the Euro, which I think is a bad thing, so I don't look favorably upon that. So of all the countries you ask, the only one that I give some positive marks to would be the Czech Republic. What can I do, Smish Islam? The facts are the facts. And thank you for the questions. And now we go to our great friend Chicago Jew, who says, why is there a rift between you and Pam Geller? You both say very much the same things, and I agree with both of you. I like her. Unquote. We don't say the same things. We don't say the same things at all. She supports the anti-Semitic English Defense League, which has Holocaust deniers in their movement. and which is an organization of Jew haters. So we don't say the same thing. In addition to that, if you want to know why there are differences between us, ask her. She's the one who attacked us. She attacked JTF. She all of a sudden she wrote something attacking JTF. I don't know this woman from Adam. I've never met her. I've never spoken to her. And all of a sudden, she makes an attack on JTF, on the Jewish Task Force. She writes something attacking JTF and attacking the Jewish Task Force. You want me to be favorable towards someone who attacks us? To try to show how respectable she is, saying, I'm against the Jewish Task Force, I'm against JTF. What a phony. She's a phony. And I don't like the way she, by the way, I don't like the way she acts or conducts herself. I don't think she conducts herself the way a Jewish woman should conduct herself. I don't like the way, she dresses half naked sometimes. And the whole thing, she turns me off. Her behavior, I find her behavior distasteful. And I wouldn't say that if not for the fact that she attacks us for no reason. But as long as she's going to attack us for no reason, let me also say that, I do think her behavior is distasteful. Another thing about her, she has a blog. Just to show you the difference between us, she has a blog called Atlas Shrugs. And that was the name of a book. Atlas Shrugged was the name of a book written by Ayn Rand. And she wrote it. And Pamela Geller wrote it in honor of Ayn Rand. Ayn Rand was a militant atheist, a completely amoral libertarian type. And a militant atheist. And many of the Rand Paul anti-Semites, they get their inspiration from Ayn Rand. So, her inspiration, Pamela Geller's inspiration, and the person she feels she has to honor is a militant atheist named Ayn Rand. We honor Rabbi Meir Kahana, we honor the Torah, and we get our inspiration from the Torah and the Bible and Judaism. She gets hers from a militant atheist. And then she defends anti-Semites like the English Defense League, which, by the way, the chutzpah of them, they stole our name. They copied our name from Jewish Defense League, which was Rabbi Kahana's great name that Rabbi Kahana gave. So they made it the English Defense League, because it's such a clever name. So they took it and grabbed it and copied. They copied our name, but then they attack us because we stand for the truth, and they're solely because they're anti-Semites. The EDL attacked us. If I don't know if people recall what happened, but they attacked us solely because of anti-Semitism. There was no other reason for that. Anyway, they have Nazi Holocaust deniers in their ranks. That's okay. But JTF is not okay. What a bunch of Jew-hating pigs. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And we now go to our great friend Kalman Ben Menachem, who writes, and I quote, Reb Chaim, what did the Vilna Gaon say about Germany and the Jews, and how could he see into the future? Thank you, unquote. The Vilna Gaon said that he believes that Germany is Amalek. Amalek, of course, is the evil nation that represents the ultimate rebels against God, the ultimate haters of God and haters of the Jewish people. And the Jews are commanded to destroy Amalek in every generation because Amalek is committed to the destruction of the Jews. And the Vilna Gaon, many, many years before Nazi Germany, before the Nazis, the Vilna Gaon predicted that Germany was going to be Amalek. That Germany was Amalek. That Germany was the continuation of Amalek. That's what the Vilna Gaon said. And of course, and at the time, of course, he was ridiculed because people said, what are you talking about? Germany is so good to the Jews. Germany is so cultured. Germany is so well educated. What are you talking about? They treat the Jews better than anybody. And the Vilna Gaon, he knew, he was a genius. The Gaon means genius. I mean, because of his tremendous Torah knowledge and his tremendous insight, he understood. He understood what was coming. And indeed, eventually, of course, with the Holocaust, he was proven right. Thank you, Kalman. And we now go to the great Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, comment on, one, Barry Bonds. Well, Barry Bonds, of course, I don't know that much detail about him. I know what everybody else, I think what most people know, that he was a baseball player and he was part of the steroid scandal. But I didn't really follow, aside from that, I didn't really follow very much more. I just know from the headlines that he was a baseball player and he was part of the steroid scandal and he was indicted, I don't remember exactly, I think it was perjury and other things because of his taking of steroids and apparently steroids are being sold to players. I don't know all of the details. I don't know all the details aside from that. Two, Daryl Strawberry. Well, Daryl Strawberry was a baseball player as well, except that he was involved with all types of drugs and was arrested for all types of things. He was arrested, he was involved with drugs and became a drug addict, a very serious drug addict, in and out of rehab. This is a guy who made so many millions of dollars and becomes a hardcore drug addict. It's, to me, it's inexplicable. It's just, I mean, I know that there's a lot of pressure on people when you make it to the top. But he had all the advantages and all the good things that people only dream of. People can only fantasize. You know how many people fantasize about being a famous baseball player? He had what everybody else, not everybody, I don't dream of being, I wouldn't want to be a famous baseball player, but many other people, many guys dream of being a famous baseball players. Many guys dream of that. And he had all of that. He had all of that. And then turns to drugs? Just crazy. And three, LeBron James. Well, LeBron James is a basketball player. And he's super wealthy. I don't like, Binyamin, the whole culture of black basketball players and just that whole culture. I don't like it. It just turns me off. I'm sorry, I think it's a culture of morons who make huge salaries. You know how rich LeBron James is? I don't know how much money he has, but I know that he endorses a lot of products and makes a fortune doing it. Why should he have all this success and money just because he knows how to shoot baskets? I mean, it shows what our society is all about. I think it's ridiculous. I'm sorry. I think it's nonsense. Four, Virginia Fields. Virginia Fields was the borough president of Manhattan who took our program off the air when it was on Manhattan. MNN, Manhattan Negro Network. They called it Manhattan Neighborhood Network, but we called it Manhattan Negro Network because Negroes are the only ones whose programs could stay on forever. And Virginia Fields, she was the borough president of Manhattan. Mm-hmm. What happened was we heckled Hillary Clinton at the Israel Day Parade. This was in the 2000 U.S. Senate race when she was running for the Senate in New York the first time in the year 2000. We heckled her. I ran after her screaming, "Jew hater, Jew hater," and I was, you know, following her screaming, "Jew hater." And she found out who we were, maybe she knew who we were or found out. I don't know how it happened. But she called Virginia Fields and told her to get us off the air. We had a big audience on Manhattan television. Rush Limbaugh used to watch us. Rush Limbaugh once said, "I'll never watch 60 Minutes again," because we were opposite 60 Minutes. And Rush Limbaugh and others, they used to turn to us. They loved our show. And by the way, our show was much more politically incorrect than anything you hear on SJTF. This is the tamest thing. This is the tamest program you ever heard in your life, and our videos and everything else are so tame in comparison to what we used to have on those shows. And nothing like you can't imagine, not anything you've seen on Facebook or any of the videos you've seen, nothing. It was far, far more politically incorrect, far more politically incorrect. Anyway, because of that, we had a huge audience, and a lot of people really liked the show. And Hillary Clinton apparently knew about it. You know that the Clintons had an apartment in Manhattan. They had a suite in Manhattan, or apartment, or whatever you call it. Obviously, very famous luxury suite. And apparently, they saw the show, and we were denouncing her week after week, calling her all types of names, exposing the fact that she's a vicious Jew hater. But when we did it at the Israel parade, and when we screwed up her PR at the Israel parade, because the media reported that she was heckled repeatedly and people were calling her an anti-Semite and she was booed. You know, when we did that to her, that for her was beyond anything. She wanted to get revenge. And so she called Virginia Fields. She was still the first so-called lady at the time. Some lady. Bill Clinton once said she slept with more women than I ever did. That's what Bill Clinton told Jennifer Fields. Bill Clinton said Hillary slept with far more women than I ever did. He actually said it with an obscenity. He also described something that she allegedly did with those women. But anyway, and I don't think it's alleged. I think, you know, she was a known lesbian. But she was the first so-called lady, or as we used to call her on the show, the first lesbian. We used to call her, instead of the first lady, we used to call her the first lesbian. Or the first dyke. I remember when she had her first meeting with Schmuck Schumer. Just to give you an example of what we used to say on the show, our headline was Dyke Meets Kike. That was the headline on the show for Hillary Clinton meeting Schmuck Schumer. Dyke meets Kike. Anyway, I don't want to repeat that now because some people get upset when I use that word. But that language, we use that language on our TV shows all the time. Anyway, so Virginia Fields took us off. And, you know, there was a Japanese girl who worked at the station who they were persecuting, a Japanese girl who worked at the cable station. She was the only Asian that worked there, and all the blacks were making fun of her and squinting their eyes and humiliating her. So she took me to the side, you know, because she hated them, and she told me what happened. She told me that Virginia Fields got a call from Hillary Clinton and then called the station and said, "You got to take his show off." And our show was taken off the next day after we heckled Hillary Clinton. All right, next, 5, Colin Powell. Colin Powell is a black Jew hater. As Secretary of State, he constantly was attacking Israel and condemning Israel. He's done it even after leaving office as Secretary of State. He did it even when he was a so-called general. And he was an affirmative action general, an affirmative action Secretary of State. I mean, he isn't fit to shine someone's shoes. But anyway, Colin Powell, a vicious Jew hater, and everybody was saying, he should be the Republican candidate for president. The Republicans were lining up. They wanted him to run for president. John McCain wanted to endorse him for president. John McCain said, if I become president, Colin Powell will be my Secretary of State, or he'll be my running mate. I'm going to ask him to be my running mate. What does Colin Powell do the minute Barack Hussein Obama is nominated for president in 2008? Colin Powell, the great Republican, the great black Republican, endorses Obama, endorses his bro. What a racist. Anyway, and he made many racist comments against white people and so on. He's like Obama. He's a racist that white people love to bow down to. He's a black racist that white people like to bow down to. 6, Condoleezza Rice, whom we call on this program Congolese Rice. Congolese Rice was another Jew hater. She was constantly badgering Israel, attacking Israel. George W. Bush didn't even care. He was hardly paying attention. But she constantly was attacking and criticizing Israel and trying to incite George W. Bush against Israel because she was the so-called Secretary of State. another black Jew hater. And finally, 7, Cleopatra Jefferson. Cleopatra Jefferson was the manager. She was the main supervisor of a department in a company where I was supposed to get a refund. And she would not give me a refund. And I did a video about her exposing what she was all about. I actually did. I did a TV show and then I did a video about her. About Cleopatra Jefferson. Anyway, okay, Benjamin, thanks for the questions. And we now go to our great friend Da Vinci, who writes, and I quote, "Is there a chance that the Sunni jihadist group ISIS will get its hands on nuclear bombs through Sunni Pakistan?" Unquote. There always is a danger. When a Muslim country has nuclear weapons, there always is a danger that somebody eventually will give the information out and share that information with, either with other Muslim countries, which Pakistan did do. Pakistan actually enabled Iran to build many, many centrifuges and gave vital nuclear information to Iran. The danger that they'll also share it with a terrorist group like ISIS, that is a real danger, yes. That danger does exist. Pakistan, the fact that Pakistan has nuclear bombs is very, very dangerous. Very dangerous. The only thing that has protected the world thus far is the fact that Pakistan has India on its border. India is much bigger than Pakistan. India has over 1 billion people. They're much bigger than Pakistan. They have far more nuclear bombs and far more sophisticated nuclear bombs in Pakistan. So the Pakistanis have to contend with that threat. If not for that, I think that we already would see this nuclear cancer spread all over the Muslim world from the Pakistanis. So it's, there's no question, it's very, very dangerous, and Pakistan should not be allowed to have nuclear weapons. Thank you, Da Vinci. And we go now to our great friend Super Mentalita, who writes, and I quote, "Hi Chaim, I was wondering, are there any European right-wing and or Jewish organizations with the JTF likes to work together with?" Unquote. Yeah, of course, JDL England, JDL in London, the JDL in London, Roberta Moore and the JDL in London. That's an excellent organization, excellent. And our own Spiraling Leopard is involved with Roberta Moore's organization, and it is an outstanding organization. And JTF proudly supports them, and JTF proudly promotes them and urges people should definitely go to their Facebook pages. Unfortunately, their Facebook page was also taken down by Facebook, by the Facebook anti-Semites. But people should promote them, and they are a very good organization. England JDL, London JDL. Excellent organization. Thank you for the question. And we now go to the great paper cut, who writes, and I quote, "Chaim, please speak on the journalist who was beheaded by the Muslim beast. When will the Lord of the Universe finally destroy these monsters?" Unquote. That's a great question, paper cut. And the answer, I think we know the answer. The answer is that these monsters are allowed to do what they do because we're not doing the righteous thing. The righteous thing is we're supposed to be destroying them. God gave us the power to deal with these people and to defeat them. God gave us the power to defeat them. We're smarter than them. We're light years ahead of them technologically. God gave us all the tools, and yet we allow evil to continue to flourish in the world. And so this is the result. It's a terrible, horrible nightmare, but this is the result. Thank you, Papercut. And we go now to the great Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, who writes, and I quote, "Your thoughts, 1, ALS ice bucket challenge," unquote. Well, you know, I mean, what is the point of spilling ice water on people? I don't know. I don't get it. I know it's supposed to heighten our awareness about this disease. And of course, if people contribute to curing a disease, that I'm in favor of. I'm all in favor of people we should do everything we can to cure every disease. We should do everything we can to support medical research. Medical research and curing diseases, that should be a priority. Absolutely. I'm all for that. But I think that this is just a cheap publicity stunt, and I think it just cheapens the message. Dr. Dan now writes, "Two Arabs who help Israel kill terrorists," unquote. In most cases, Dr. Dan, they're doing it for the money. They're not doing it because they like Israel. In most cases, they're friends with the terrorists, but they want money. The Israelis pay them to give them information. And so most of them are doing it for the money. Now, if there are rare cases of Arabs who decide to help Israel because they believe Israel is right, well, obviously that would be very righteous. Are there exceptions to the rule? The Arabs, generally speaking, hate the Jews and literally want genocide against the Jews. But are there exceptions to the rule? Of course there are. Of course there are. There are rare cases of Arabs who realize and understand that Israel is right, that this is completely unjust, and support Israel. There are it's rare, but there are cases like that. There are exceptions to the rule. And if they do that, for that reason, if their motivation is because they think Israel is right, then that's certainly righteous behavior. Dr. Dan now writes, 3, Shmuel Sackett. Shmuel Sackett is the right-hand man for Knesset member Moshe Feiglin. Shmuel Sackett is a very good Jew and someone that I have the privilege of knowing. He's someone who was active in the JDL, and now he's active with Manigut Yehudit and Moshe Feiglin. He is a good Jew, and I have a great deal of respect for Shmuel Sackett. 4, Barry Chaimish and his supporters. I think Barry Chaimish is insane. I think he's insane. I think his theories are crazy. And it doesn't mean that everything he says is wrong. Look, crazy people also say certain things that make sense. You know, you got paranoid people that certain things they say are true. But generally speaking, I think he's insane. And as far as his supporters are concerned, I think if people really read everything he says and take that seriously, they're either somewhat nutty or illogical, or completely illogical. Because what he says is completely illogical. Thank you, Dr. Dan. And we now go to our great friend, Russian Leo 777. What is your, and I quote, what is your opinion of, 1, Colonel Alan West, unquote. I like Colonel Alan West. Colonel Alan West was a black conservative congressman from Florida who unfortunately was defeated by a self-hating Jew. I like Colonel West. I think he's a good guy. At least, I mean, I can't be sure. I'm not a mind reader. I can't be sure that he's sincere from what he says, but what he says is good. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Russian Leo now writes, 2, Chuck Norris. I think Chuck Norris is also basically a good guy. He's an evangelical Christian. For those of you who don't know, Chuck Norris is the martial arts expert who did movies and had his own TV show. I don't remember what it was, but he had a famous TV show, I think, in the 1990s. I don't remember the name. And he's very talented martial arts expert. he's in his 70s now, but he's still, as far as I know, he's still in very good shape. I don't think most people would want to mess with him, even though he's in his 70s. I don't think many people would want to mess with him. I think he's still a very tough guy. I think he's a good guy, basically. He supports Israel. He's done things that I disagree with because I don't think he knows better. For instance, I mean, he did some good things. He supported and campaigned for Mike Huckabee when Mike Huckabee ran for president in 2008, which I agree with. I think Mike Huckabee was the best candidate in 2008. I think that Chuck Norris was correct. But then in 2012, he briefly supported Ron Paul, the anti-Semite. I don't think he understood what Ron Paul really stands for. I think it was just a mistake he made, and then he switched to Newt Gingrich, and then finally in the end he supported Mitt Romney. But he did briefly support Ron Paul, which was a mistake. In addition to that, he then did a video supporting Netanyahu in Israel in the Israeli election. Again, I think that's a mistake, but I think he meant well. I think when he supported Netanyahu, I think because he identifies Netanyahu with tough policies on Israel. That's the danger of Netanyahu, that he has that reputation, which he doesn't deserve. But Chuck Norris, I think, does genuinely support Israel. I think that he is an honest, decent person, and I like him. Three, Noni Darwish. Okay, this is also a good person. This is a former Muslim from Egypt, an Arab Muslim from Egypt, who left Islam, who created an organization called Arabs for Israel, and who criticizes Islam. I think she's a courageous. I think she's a courageous person, and she lives in America, of course. If she lived in a Muslim country, they would kill her in 2 seconds, God forbid. She lives in America now. Of course, she lives in America. She only does this from the United States. But I think she's courageous, and I respect and admire her. Thank you, Russian Leo. And we go now to the great EB22, who writes, and I quote, "Compare the situations of Baruch Goldstein, Edin Natanzada, and the six suspects that allegedly murdered Arab Nazi Mohammed Abu Khadir," unquote. Well, Baruch Goldstein was a doctor who became a captain in the Israeli army because he was such a great doctor, such a great medical doctor, and saved so many soldiers and was so heroic. And he found out that the Arabs, he was told by his superiors, that Israeli intelligence found out that the Arab terrorists, the PLO terrorists, the Fatah PLO terrorists, were going to stage a massacre of the Jews in Hebron and Kiryat Arba. Baruch Goldstein lived in Kiryat Arba with his four little children and his wife. And he knew that his fellow Jews and his own family were in danger. He was told, get ready. The reason they informed him is because he was such a skilled doctor. They said, get ready because we expect many casualties. It's going to be a big massacre. This is what we have learned. Israeli intelligence told him. So he decided that he is going to stop this, that he was going to save the Jews from this massacre. And so he went into Me'arat HaMachpelah, which is the Cave of the Patriarchs, which the Arab Muslim terrorists were polluting with their so-called prayers. And he killed 29 of them. Because of his actions, the massacre of Jews never took place. Because they locked down, because they caused Arab rioting, so the Israeli army had to lock down all the towns and villages and everything else, so they were never able to carry out any massacre. But he lost his life. He gave his life doing this. Edin Natanzada gave his life killing four Arabs in the Galil in an attempt to stop the expulsion of Jews from Gush Katif, the disastrous expulsion of Jews from Gush Katif. Edin Natanzada was an Israeli soldier, and he gave his life trying to save the Jewish people from the Gush Katif expulsion. Now, you say there are six suspects, EB, but actually, I think some of them were released. I think only two are actually being charged, if I'm not mistaken. I think only two people are being, maybe three, two or three are being charged now. I believe that we have seen thousands of the most vicious Muslim terrorist mass murderers released from Israeli prisons. If they're released from Israeli prisons, as far as I'm concerned, all the Jews that are in prison for things like this should be released as well. Jews that are in prison for trying to help the Jewish people or defend the Jewish people, all of them should be released from prison immediately. The Israeli government, the evil Israeli governments have released thousands of Muslim terrorist murderers. They should release all the Jews that are in Israeli prison. That's my position. Thank you, EB. And by the way, they only release Muslim terrorists. They never release the Jews that are in prison. That's an anti-Semitic policy. It's unjust and it's an anti-Semitic policy. And now we go to our great friend Imaknik, who writes, and I quote, "What would you do to the current Israeli establishment politicians when you get in power? Can they remain in Israel? What would you do with Bibi?" Unquote. Well, no, Bibi will be allowed to remain in Israel. And there's going to be an opposition. There'll be opposition parties to us. We're not going to outlaw the opposition. And there'll be opposition parties to us. I think the Israeli people will support us. I think most Israelis will support us, and I think they will want us to stay in power. But we will allow Israeli opposition parties in Israel. Thank you, Imaknik. We won't allow corruption. If we find politicians who are engaged in corruption, we're going to take action against them. But we will allow Israeli opposition parties. Thank you, Imaknik. And we now go to our great friend Mensch, who writes, and I quote, "IDF is very dependent on sophisticated weapon platforms from US, EU, F-16, 15, 22s. Germany just finished its largest ever stealth sub for Israel. Your solution," unquote. Mensch, what is your solution? When these countries say, we're going to cut off all your weapons unless you commit suicide, unless you give up all of Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem and go back to boundaries that are 6 to 9 miles wide. What is going to be your solution then, Mensch? That's what's coming. The Obama administration cut off weapons to Israel during this war with Gaza to pressure Israel not to defend herself and defend her own citizens as thousands of missiles are raining down on Israeli cities. Even with Hamas being attacked, the whole world sees that Hamas is just viciously attacking and trying to murder Jews and openly saying they're going to destroy the Jewish people. And even then, Israel's not allowed to defend herself, and Barack Hussein Obama and John Kerry cut off their arms supplies. Israel must become self-sufficient in weapons, Mensch. What is your solution? What is your solution when they say we're going to cut it off unless you commit suicide? Israel must become self-sufficient. Israel is not dependent upon these weapons. Israel can build better weapons by herself with Jewish brains and Jewish technology. Israel can build better weapons. Israel improves all the weapons that are sold to her. Major improvements are done by Israeli scientists. And if Israel took all the billions and billions, tens of billions of dollars that they spend on giving money to the United States and all these other countries to make massive weapons purchases over the years, if instead this was all used in an Israeli arms industry, Israeli arms, in my opinion, would be the best conventional weaponry in the world. And countries like India and Serbia and Latin American countries that have wanted to buy weapons from Israel, but the United States has said, no, you can't do it. If Israel was not buying weapons from America and not getting foreign aid, Israel could do whatever they want. Israel would make billions of dollars on weapon sales. Those things can happen. And if we take power, they will happen. Israel will build better and more sophisticated and smarter weapons than the weapons they're now buying from other countries. Thank you, Mensch. And we now go to the great Ephraim Ben Noach, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, speak about the California quake, Muslim invasion, Ferguson, and weather. Is more to come," unquote. Absolutely. Absolutely. God is warning people. God doesn't just do something. These are warnings, yes. Much more is to come. Much more. I mean, we're going to face the war of Gog and Magog, where the prophets actually say that most of the world is going to be destroyed. So a lot of terrible things are coming. These are just warnings. All of these are just signs and warnings. And I don't know when the war of Gog and Magog is going to come. I don't know if it'll come in our lifetime. I have no idea. But way in advance, God warns and warns and warns until eventually people go past the point of no return. Thank you, Ephraim. And we now go to the great Tag Mechir Tzedek, who writes, and I quote, "Which is more Bolshevik in your experience or opinion, Facebook or YouTube? How can we beat its system to get the message across?" Unquote. The only way we can beat the system is by creating numerous accounts. Because if we have one big account, they're going to take it down. That's what Facebook does. That's what YouTube does. That's how they operate. They've done that repeatedly, not just to us, but to others. And that's how they operate. That doesn't mean that, when we put up an account and we get 27,000 members, we've exposed ourselves to 27,000 people who now know us, who were willing to join us. And that does make a big difference. It makes a difference. So it's not a waste. But of course, we want a situation where we can permanently lock in those members and have them with us, stay with us, and not have them taken down. And the only way we can do that is on our own site. As far as I can see, that's the only way we can do that. We cannot force Facebook or YouTube to keep us up. If we create numerous accounts all over the place, then we're going to have fewer members on each account. But that's the only way we can really stay up permanently on Facebook and YouTube. That's what worked for YouTube since 2007. It's worked for us and on Facebook. But on Facebook, we're doing the same thing, and we anticipate that we'll be able to operate that way. But the best way is for us to be in control and not having these anti-Semites, including Jewish anti-Semites on Facebook and YouTube, be able to take us down. And so what we want to do is we want to use Facebook and use YouTube to publicize our main objective. Our main objective is bringing people to our website, to our own website and our own server. That's our main goal. That's how we want to get around the censorship of these other groups. We want to control what we can say, and we want to give people an opportunity to express themselves freely without this type of vicious bias. Thank you, Tag Mechir Tzedek. And I want to thank everybody for another program that, of course, I very much enjoyed doing. Until next week, Shalom.